Good evening. I have the joy of introducing our speaker tonight. He's an old friend. We've known him for many years, and he has always brought joy to our hearts whenever we've heard him speak. And I'm going to give you a little bit of background on Wendell Calder. And the rest, if you've picked up this, you'll need that. That'll be very helpful for our schedule and for the rest of the weekend. Wendell Calder is originally from New Brunswick, Canada, and trusted Christ as his Savior at an early age at his home church. He is a graduate of New Brunswick Bible Institute in Victoria, New Brunswick, and served as a pastor for 16 years right after graduation. His wife, Joan, is also from New Brunswick and travels with her husband as he conducts crusades, preaches at various churches, or as a beloved professor at Word of Life Bible Institute as he teaches the Word of God. I'm thinking the Calders got a bit chilly in Canada because they decided to move south to the state of Maine, where Wendell pastored a startup church in Woodland, Maine, and founded Living Waters Bible Conference and served as its director for 20 years. Everything you would like to know about the Calders is in this folder. I do ask that you try and refrain from reading it during the service. My husband's and my association with this couple has been at Word of Life, where Wendell would often speak during the camping season. We quickly became fans. I could have wished to have this man's energy and enthusiasm at age 3. He loves the Lord. He loves God's word, and at the heart of his message is always the gospel. Please give a warm Delaware welcome to Wendell Calder.
Introduction like that. Not sure after an introduction like that. A lot of pressure. Good evening, everybody. That was pathetic. Let's try it again. I don't know, like after an introduction like that. Good evening, everybody. Hey, that's a lot better. Great. Well, my wife Joan is also here. It is a joy for us to be in your church, here for your missionary conference. We just finished Wednesday night in Eflin, North Carolina. If you don't know where that is, I don't either. The week prior to that, we were in Burlington, North Carolina. And if you know where that is, Eflin's right next door. And when I go down that far into the south, I have to preach through a translator because with my Canadian and maniac lingo, they just couldn't know. We had great meetings, and it's a joy to be here in your church, and looking forward to sharing together during the week. Turn your Bibles tonight, if you would please, to the Gospel of Mark and chapter 6. Mark's Gospel, chapter 6. I'm going to read starting at verse 34. And if someone could get me a cup or a glass of water, I'd appreciate it. Size of the glass will determine the length of the sermon, Pastor. Okay. He'll come with a communion glass half full. Okay, Mark 6, verse 34. Jesus, when he came out, saw much people. He was moved with compassion toward them because they were a sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, into the villages, buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." He answered and said unto them, "Give ye them to eat." And they say unto him, "Shall we go?" I've got it right there. Thank you. They said unto him, "Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat?" He said unto them, "How many loaves have ye? Go and see." When they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. He commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. They sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. When he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven. He blessed, he brake the loaves, gave them to his disciples to set before them. The 2 fishes divided he among them all. They did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. God always blesses the reading of his word. Let's pause in just a moment of prayer. Father, we seek thy blessing tonight. Because, Lord, if anything's to happen here of lasting and eternal value, thou art the one who's going to have to do it. So, Lord, give us ears that are tuned to hear. Give us minds that are clear to understand. Give us hearts that are open to receive. And above all, give us wills that are broken to obey. In Christ's name, amen. I thought to open our mission conference this evening that we take a look at this very familiar account in the life and ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's one of the miracles performed by our Lord during his earthly ministry. Matter of fact, it is the only miracle of our Lord that's recorded by all four gospel writers. Matthew records it in chapter 14. Mark records it in chapter 6. Luke records it in chapter 9. And John records it in chapter 6. So it seems that if the Holy Spirit would place this one miracle four times within the canon of Scripture, there just may be a message that he'd like for you and for me to get, right? A picture of the scene. Jesus had been teaching and preaching, ministering the Word of God during the day, came on towards evening. The people had not eaten, and so Jesus looked out at the crowd. Now, it says here there were 5,000 men. One of the gospel writers says there were 5,000 men besides women and children. So we generally have more women and children than we do men, right? So, I mean, it could have been 10, 15,000. 5,000 would have been enough. But Jesus looked out at the crowd, looked at his disciples, and he said, go ahead, feed them the evening meal. And the disciples, probably like you would be or like I would be in that situation, they basically said, Lord, you just can't do it. You know, put yourself in the position of the disciples. Matter of fact, Philip spoke up and he said 200 pennyworth would not be sufficient to buy enough food to feed this crowd. Now, a pennyworth would be the equivalent of one person's wages for one day. So what he's saying is if you took the wages of 200 men, okay, for one day, or one person for 200 days, you couldn't buy enough food. So what he really was saying is, you can't do it. It's impossible. Then another one of the disciples, Andrew by name. You never read a lot about Andrew, but every time you do, he's introducing somebody to the Savior. Andrew spoke up and he said, there's a lad here. He has a lunch with him. And, you know, we could get that lunch, we could take care of this crowd. Now, put yourself in the position of a lad. That's the only lunch he had. Put yourself in the position of the disciples when Andrew suggested that this lad, I can picture that lad coming to his mom that morning and saying, Mom, you know the Lord Jesus is going to be teaching near here today, and I sure would like to go over and listen to him and hear him. And mother said, great idea, son, if you'll do that and not disturb the meeting. I love it. Folks, we are in trouble tonight. Thank you, preacher. Thank you, man. I love it. I put that right here. I want to, folks, forget the break that was originally scheduled. I better set that over here so I won't kick it. Thank you so much. I was in one church, and the last night they brought 12 glasses of water on a tray. So we got out of there around midnight. And so she said, you know, let me prepare a lunch for you. You may get a little bit hungry. And I don't think she had any idea how much company he was going to have for lunch. And so she prepares him a lunch. So Andrew checks and he comes back and he says to Jesus, he's got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, I don't think he had 5 big doubleheader homemade loaves, you know, like mom makes at home or they used to make. I don't think he had 2 fish, each one about this size, right? I think he probably had 5 biscuits and 2 sardines. So I'd like to share tonight what happens when you have a little lad, a light lunch, a lot of lives, and a loving Lord. Because when you put together a little lad, a light lunch, a lot of lives, and a loving Lord, little is much when God is in it. And I'm afraid sometimes with relation to the great task of mission. See, missions is the heartbeat of a local church. And the heartbeat of missions is evangelism. The heartbeat of missions is the souls of men the souls of women, the souls of young people. Jesus Christ, when he saw the multitudes, was moved with compassion. And so when we see a story like this, I believe it can drive home a truth that'll kind of set the stage for us for our time together, okay? So here's what I want you to do tonight. I want you to let the lad's lunch represent your life. So we're going to all say it together in just a second, okay? I'm going to let the lad's lunch represent my life. Have you got it? I'll repeat it one more time. I'm going to let the lad's lunch represent my life. Now we're ready, everybody. I'm going. Hey, that was a great job. Let's have all the ladies do it. Okay, guys, you've had time enough to learn it. So let's let all the guys say it. Go ahead. Now, I think if we all say it one time, we'll have it. Ready? I'm going to let the lad's lunch. And what Jesus did with that lad's lunch, he'd like to do with your life and mine tonight. Number one, look at verse 41. And when he had taken the 5 loaves, 2 fishes, first thing he did, he took it. He took it. By the way, who has any more right to take your life or mine? 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. What, know ye not? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God. You're not your own. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We're not our own. We've been bought. Why should I be trying to tell God what to do with what he purchased? And by the way, God takes care of his property. He looks after that which he's purchased. I want you to notice several things in the taking of a lunch. Number one, I want you to notice he did not take it until the lad was willing to give it. Jesus didn't say, okay, kid, give me a lunch. You know why? Our Savior doesn't operate that way. See, he didn't make me a mechanical robot with a giant panel board up in heaven. Every time he wanted us to move, he just push a button. Probably gotten a lot better response. But God made us body, soul, spirit, intellect, emotions, will. And Jesus did not take it till the lad was willing to give it. Question, have you been willing to place the lunch in the master's hand? Number two, I want you to notice first, he did not take it till the lad was willing to give it. Number two, he did take it when the lad was willing to give it. Could you picture that lad saying, okay, I'll give you my lunch. Jesus say, now listen, son, I appreciate your offer, but listen, I got thousands of lives to feed here. What do you think I'm going to do with 5 biscuits and 2 sardines? Sorry, son, what you have doesn't qualify. Sorry, you're not what I'm looking for. Aren't you glad that our God and our Savior never responds in any life? Never yet has there been one who's come and said, Lord, take my life and let it be. That's what a lot of Christians say. Take my life and let it be. They put a period right there. Leave it alone, Lord. Okay? Consecrated, Lord, to thee. Never yet has there been a believer come and said, I surrender all. Never yet has there been one come and said, have thine own way, Lord. And have him say, sorry, I have my quota. Sorry, you don't qualify. No, when the lad was willing to give it, he did take it. Thirdly, I want you to notice, not only he did not take it till the lad was willing to give it, he did take it when the lad was willing to give it. Thirdly, I want you to notice he did not take part of it, he took all of it. He didn't say, okay, son, I'll tell you what we'll do. Why don't we drive a little bargain? You give me 3 biscuits and you keep 1 sardine. You see, God's not running a bargain table in a flea market. And so many times in our lives, now, none of the folks here tonight, the folks who couldn't come, when you visit other churches on vacation, you'll be able to see it, okay? But here's what we do. Lord, you can have this part of my life and that part, but Lord, not this part. I'm going to hold on to that, but Lord, don't be too far away, because if I get in trouble, I may need you. And we kind of picture God like a puppet on a string. When we want him, we pull him out of the box. When we don't, we put him back in, right? No, he didn't take part of it. He took all of it. Someone asked General Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, and everything I've been able to read of General Booth, I believe he was a man of God. Someone said to him one day, Mr. Booth, to what do you attribute the success of your life in ministry? And without hesitation, here's his answer. There came a day when God got all there was of William Booth? Has there come a day when God got all there is of Wendell Calder? Has there come a day when God got all there is of you? If so, then evangelism, soul winning, fishing for men just becomes the automatic overflow and outflow of the inflow of the Spirit of God. But you know what we're trying to do? We're trying to get non-yielded, non-committed, non-surrendered Christians excited about serving Jesus Christ. You have a good time, let me know how you do. But you see, when I place the lunch in his hand, make it available. Remember, little is much when God is in it. So what happens when you have a little lad, light lunch, a lot of lives, and a loving Lord? He took it. Number two, it says when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and he blessed it. Number two, he not only took it, he touched it. You know what I believe it means when it says he blessed it? I know, you know, he gave thanks to his heavenly Father. But I believe what it really means is this. He put something into that lunch that was not previously in that lunch. By the way, if God's going to use the likes of you and me to feed a starving, dying world with Christ, the bread of life, he better put something in our lives too, hadn't he? You can say amen. It's okay. I checked with the pastor. Okay? He better put something in our... Thank you. I'm glad you came. He better put something in our lives, right? Amen. You keep it down. Okay? I love Bill Gaither's song. Some of you are thinking, where did Pastor find this loudmouth? Okay? I love Bill Gaither's song, Shackled by a Heavy Burden. Bent beneath the load of sin and care, then the hand of Jesus touched me. And now I am no longer the same. He touched me. I love that poem. It's been around for years, and then it was put to music. The touch of the master's hand. The auctioneer held up an old dusty violin. How much am I offered for this old violin? $1, $1, who'll make it $2? $2 going once, who'll make it $3? And then an older gentleman came down from the back of the room. He took the old dusty violin out of the hand of the auctioneer, blew off the dust, tightened up the strings, took a bow, and he played out a melody pure and sweet. Then he held it up. He said, now, how much am I offered for the old violin? $1,000, $1,000, $2,000, who'll make it $3? The people said, we don't understand. What made the difference in the price of the old violin? It was the touch of the master's hand. And you know what? Many a life I've seen scarred by sin and shame, touched by the master's hand. That's what it means. He put heaven's touch. I call it unction to function. We have an unction from the Holy One, right? And by the way, I've watched my God put heaven's touch on some unlikely specimens of humanity. If I'd have been doing the choosing, I certainly would not have chosen. I wouldn't have chosen me. Well, don't smile. I might not choose you either. But aren't you glad that his ways are not our ways? And aren't you glad that our God makes no mistake? I remember back when I was in Bible school, there was a guy in the class 1 year behind me, just one of the greatest guys you'd ever want to meet in your life. The guy was built like a Sherman tank. And, you know, but when it came to academic learning, to put it rather nicely, he had some slight difficulties. And, I mean, he would study and study and study, and he'd go and take the quiz or take the exam or whatever, fail it every time. So then we were going to, and I had a couple of classes together with him. So one class exam was coming up, and I made up my mind, he's not going to fail this one. So I made up about 25, 30 questions that I felt the professor would have on that particular exam. And the night before, I met with him for over 2 hours, and I went through every one of them, and I'd get number one, I'd go to number two, I'd go back, I'd do number three, I'd go back to number one, he'd forgotten that. And then I'd get down to number four and so on. And then the next morning, we get up early, and I went over it again about an hour or so with him, but he was consistent, he failed that one too. But you know what? He didn't graduate per se, but he finished. And tonight, many, many, many years later, he and his wife that he met there at the school have raised a godly family, every one of their children is involved in ministry and service for Jesus Christ. He and his wife have been faithful missionaries for all these years. And listen to this. For about 17 years, he was the national director of his mission. You know why? Well, it's like C.T. Studd said, if you got a heart for God, any old turnip will do for a head. You see, God's not dependent upon your intellect and mine. God just takes the nothings of this world, 1 Corinthians 1, right? Not many mighty, not many noble, not many wise. Queen Victoria of England said, thank God, he said, not many noble. He didn't say not any, right? But God hath chosen the weak, the base, the despised, and the non-existent. Why? Here's the reason, that no flesh should glory in his presence. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's all about him. He took it. He touched it. Third thing he did with it. When he had taken the 5 loaves, 2 fish, looked up to heaven, blessed it, then he broke the loaves. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means that he took the loaves and he broke it. But we said the lunch represents what? Okay, let's try that again. You answer the questions, I'll finish sooner. And by the way, I'm going to go till 1:45, okay? So you still get your break, but I'm going to go to 1:45. Tell you now so I don't lose you. Some of you will have your watch out and your alarm set. No. Okay? So ready now. Here we got it. What was I talking about? Broken bread. Okay? So that means he wants to take your life and mine and... Now, there's one area of your life I want to compare to the breaking of the loaves. That area is the area of the will. The area of the will. You know, you can't even get saved until your will is submitted to God's will. Till you come to a point where you say, I will admit I'm a sinner. I will acknowledge Christ as the only Savior. I will put my faith and trust in him. Has that will ever been submitted to God's will? Let me illustrate. The Midianites were the enemy of Israel. There were so many of them, the Bible says, they looked like grasshoppers out there on the hillside and in the valley. Okay, so God's looking for somebody to lead Israel's army against the Midianites. And he chose Gideon. Now, what was Gideon doing when God called him? He was out by the wine press threshing wheat, hiding from the Midianites. Now, if I was selecting a Norman Schwarzkopf to lead my army, I don't think I'd select somebody hiding under the dining room table, say, come out from under there, we got a war, I need you to be my general. But remember, God's ways are not our ways, right? What happens when you have a little lad, a light lunch, a lot of lives, a loving Lord? Little is much when God's in it. Gideon said, but Lord, Gideon, I've chosen you. He said, Lord, let's run a little test just to make sure. He said, this little piece of ground here, could you let it be dry and wet all around it? God said, no problem. Gideon said, Lord, just to be sure, could we run that in reverse? Could you let that be wet and everything around it? God said, no problem. Okay, Lord, I'll go. God said, Gideon, get the people together. I have something I want you to say to them. They had 32,000. Keep this figure in mind. How many? 32,000. God said, Gideon, you have too many. Too many, Lord. Look at them. Yeah, but Gideon, if we win with 32,000, they'll say, look what we've done. So he said, Gideon, you speak to them. You tell them we're going out to fight. We're going to win. If they're faint-hearted and afraid, tell them to go home. 22,000 went home. You know what their motto was? Can't do it here. Can't. Things are different here. Now the Lord said, Gideon, you got these 10,000 people. Gideon said, yeah, but Lord, we just lost. No, God said, no, no. Lord said, Gideon, have these 10,000 people get a drink of water. Did you ever see 10,000 people lined up at a drinking fountain? He said, those that lay on their belly and get a drink, put them over there. Time they get up, the war will be all over. Those that crouch and lap it like a dog, put them over here. 9,700 laid on the belly. 300 lapped it like a dog. So what do you got left? 300 plus Gideon plus God, but little is much when God's in it. The Lord said, okay, Gideon, we're going to go forth at night when they're sleeping out there on the hillside. And he said, I want every man to take a trumpet in one hand and a pitcher with a lamp inside in the other. Gideon said, praise God. I thought he was going to give us nothing to fight with. You know, hit him over the head with the trumpet, cut him with a lamp, and then run. Now he said, we're going to go out there when they're sleeping, and we're going to say, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. Then I want every man to blow his trumpet. Did you ever hear 300 trumpets all at once? They made it nice to sleeping out there, right? All of a sudden, sword of the Lord and Gideon. Good trumpet, right? Then he says, I want every man to break his pitcher and light his lamp. The Midianites woke up. They saw those 300 flickering lights. They said they got us completely surrounded. Don't let one get away. So they panicked, and God gave victory to the nation of Israel. A church committee would still be voting on it. Now listen, here's the heartbeat of missions. But would you notice something? Would you notice their lamps did not shine till the pitcher was broken? One of the reasons that some of our lamps today are not shining too brightly is the pitcher has never been broken. So what did God do? First, he took it. Secondly, he touched it. Thirdly, he transformed it. He just totally transformed it. And when God transforms a life, let me tell you what, all hell can't stand against it. But here we sit tonight, folks, 2,000 years after Calvary, when our Savior's parting words to the church was go into all the world and preach the gospel. And there are still multitudes that have never heard. You know why? Because we haven't been willing to place the lunch in the Master's hand. But little as much when God is in it. So if he could take a little lad, a light lunch, and a lot of lives, don't you think, to feed thousands, don't you think he could probably feed just one with you or with me, Christ the bread of life, if we would just place the lunch in his hands? Father, how we thank you for your precious word. Thank you, Lord, it is living, it is life-giving. Thank you that this prophecy did not come by the will of man. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for these folks who've come on a Friday night. We thank you for your word. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. With every head bowed before the Lord, just make sure tonight that the lunch, the whole lunch, has been placed in his hand. Just make sure that he has it all and that it will amaze you what our God will do. Father, that's our prayer in Christ's precious name. And all God's people said, amen.